You'll be pleased to know these are my notes for tonight. That is it. That is it. So that's a good hour right there. No. I'm going to read from the Bible. Wow. You weren't expecting that, were you? From the New Testament, though. Just before I do, I was speaking to Abby, who usually comes here in the week, and she was telling me that her the high school that she attended when she was in America was built to be a prison. And after they'd virtually finished building it as a prison, they decided they weren't going to use it as a prison, and it got turned into a high school. So her high school basically looks like a prison, which I thought, that's quite interesting, isn't it? And there's a point to that, which I'll come to a bit later on. And if I forget, you need to tell me, but I shouldn't do. So what I'm going to do, it's a fairly long reading, which is unusual for me, but because we're looking at Easter, I just wanted to read, it's just one chapter from John's Gospel about the journey that Jesus took to the cross, all right? So I'm going to turn the lights down and just encourage you to look at the cross. Now, I'm pretty sure in Jesus' day, the cross did not have twinkling fairy lights on it. I just want to put that out there so that you don't think, why isn't that in the story? No, of course you're not going to think that, but we thought it looked nice with the white and the red. So, can I encourage you to do that? To have a look, and perhaps Graham could just turn the spots down for me, because Nick's not there at the moment. Or at least some of them down, so I need to stand where I can see the words. So I just encourage you to look at the cross and listen to these words. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away. crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Called Alfred Nobel, who is famous for the Nobel Peace Prize. And some years before he set that up, he was reading the paper and he read his own obituary in the paper, which basically called him the merchant of death, because he had created at that point nitroglycerine, which was dynamite, which basically changed warfare and killed hundreds of people. And so as he was reading the paper, he thought, I don't want to be remembered as the merchant of death. So out of that, he invested his entire fortune to setting up the Nobel Peace Prize. And now there are loads of Nobel Prizes, aren't there? But we all have heard of the Peace Prize. And now Alfred Nobel has changed how he is remembered, although I've obviously just told the story, but he is now remembered more for peace than for death. And I was thinking about this, and this is where that school links in, really, that sometimes things start off meaning one thing and become something else, don't they? And that's true of Abbey School. It started off to be a place for prisoners and has ended up being a place of education. And I guess that people would not end up in a prison. And as I reflected upon the cross, I thought, actually, the cross is something that started off as one thing, but is now something else. And I don't know what you were feeling. I hope that you were listening to that account of Jesus and his journey to the cross, because it's quite powerful, I think. The cross in that time was a symbol of death. If you went to the cross, well, you didn't come back again. Certainly not alive. And we read right at the beginning that they took Jesus and they flogged him. To flog him was to whip him. This is a bit like the kind of thing they may have used, but this is quite a nice one in that the stones on it are really smooth. But they would weave stones and bone into the cords so that when it struck Jesus on the back, as they pulled it off again, it would rip his skin out of his back. And they did that 40 times as they flogged Jesus and pulled the flesh off his back. This was before he even got to the cross. And then we read, didn't we, that they made a crown of thorns. This is quite a large one, but not that thorny anymore. But taking the crown of thorns, they pressed it on his head so that the thorns were going into his skin, causing blood. Now, obviously, that's not going to kill him, but the blood would begin to be seeping, wouldn't it, into his eyes and across his face. And so now his black back's bleeding and his head's bleeding. And to add to the injury, they begin to hurl insults at him. And we read, don't they, that the guards, they go past and they smack him in the face. Maybe they slapped him, maybe they punched him, but they're hurting him. And then they put like a robe round him and take the mickey out of him. And they parade him in front of the people. The people who Jesus came for. He was a Jew, and now his own people were sending him to be crucified. Now remember, his back is bloody and torn. And then we read that Jesus had to carry his own cross. The likelihood is it would have just been the cross beam that he would have carried on his back. And as he walked to the place where the crucifixion took place, he's carrying the back on his back, which is torn and ripped. You see, the cross was then a symbol of death. Most people who died on a cross usually died of suffocation. Because as they got to the cross, they would have then, we read that they nailed his hands and his feet to it. I've got some big nails here, but these are nice ones. And what I mean by that is they're pointed at the end. They're straight. The nails in those times would have been much more blunt. So again, as you're banging one of those through the hand, it's going to cause more tearing. Often they would have put it through the two bones in his wrists so that he would be hanging from his bones. And then they banged one in his feet for good measure so that when he was pushing himself up to try and breathe, he was pushing on the nail that was between his feet. We didn't read it in that bit, but later on, they stick a spear in his side just to make sure that he's dead. You see, the cross was a symbol of death and destruction. And they were killing the Son of God. And they murdered him. And Jesus had told his disciples just the night before this happened that he was going to give up his body, that his blood was going to be spilled. That's why we have the Last Supper. That's why we share communion. Jesus knew it was going to happen, but he still didn't let Pilate sort of talk his way out of it. He had the opportunity to convince Pilate to let him go, but he didn't. There's a song which says he chose the cross. And when you read it in that light, you can see what that really means. And you know, I know this is quite hard stuff to hear, and it's quite heavy and it's quite horrible. And, you know, we could rip off all of these lights and you're just left with this wooden cross, which is this symbol of death. But you see, it doesn't mean that anymore, does it? It doesn't mean death anymore. You see, for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, the cross now means life. It's changed its meaning. Some of you might wear a cross round your neck. Well, I don't think you wear it round your neck to symbolise death. Most people who wear crosses, if you're a Christian, wear it to symbolise that death was beaten, that life is now found in the cross. You see, Jesus died this horrible, painful death so that we didn't have to, so that we could be free. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention, he didn't just carry the cross beam on his bloodied back. He carried the sins of the whole world when he died on the cross for us. And you see, we can look at the cross today and we can rejoice and we can smile, because actually the cross is no longer a symbol of death. It has changed its meaning and it now is a symbol of hope, of love, of life, of joy. Because I can't really talk about the cross without talking about what happened on Easter Day. What we call it Easter Day. For them it was just the third day. The day that Jesus rose again. See, because if he didn't, if he just stayed in the tomb and the tomb stayed closed with Jesus in it, then I tell you what, I wouldn't be here. Because it would be absolutely pointless for me to have given my life to some dead geezer who died 2,000 years ago. What's the point of that? It's pointless. But it's not pointless because he rose again. And he is alive today. And that's why the cross is no longer a symbol of death. It's a symbol of life. That's why I give my life to Jesus. Because he has beaten death. He has conquered it. And so what was one thing is now something else. And that's what Jesus does with our lives as well. What our lives once were, he changes it. And it doesn't mean that we suddenly become perfect. Of course it doesn't. But as he begins to work in our lives, he takes us from what it means now to what it means with him. And it's amazing. It is like our lives go from darkness to light. The Bible in Ephesians, Paul talks about that. The New Living Translation uses the words that we are God's masterpiece. And if you think of a big painting, I just have this wonderful image of God saying, yeah, this is what you're like, but I am making you and forming you into something else. And you know what? You're my masterpiece, which I want to show off to people because I want the world to see. You see, what Jesus did on the cross, where he took what was death and made it life, he does with us. He takes our sin and he paid the ransom so that we would know how to live and would know how to love, because he was our example and is our example. And so I want to encourage you really that this is what he does in our lives. The thing is, he does it if we let him and if we ask him. And it starts by being in a relationship with him. And to get in a relationship with Jesus is as simple as saying, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I say simple because it's easy to say it, but it is hard to do if we're genuine about it. But if we allow Jesus to do it, then he takes our lives and he turns it into something completely different. That doesn't mean that all of our dreams and aspirations and desires aren't going to happen. because that might all be part of what he wants to do. But I'm talking about what he does inside of us. He changes us from the inside out. He begins to work on our heart and on our soul and on our minds and begins to try and make it more like himself. He takes what was once death and brings us life. And so I don't know what you were talking about earlier when you were talking about how you celebrate Easter and how you remember Easter. But what I would say is that why not this Easter weekend take some time just to stop in the busyness of it all, or just in the activity of it all, or the family side of it all, or the egg side of it all, and just stop and maybe read this passage again or the other accounts in the Gospels. Think about the cross and think, you know, I want that in my life. I want that symbol which was once death and is now life. That is good news. That is the best news you'll ever hear. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I give my life to Jesus. Because he's taken me from one thing